Then what you're going to get is this, you're going to get a notice of, usually, unless you're clean, notice of suspect documents, notice of discrepancies, and that has to do with which employees they think are not authorized to work, and there'll be specific instructions on those about what the employer is supposed to do. And, you know, a lot of times people have left that are on those, you know, but, or you've already discovered that those people aren't authorized to work, but you'll have to comply with those. Now, they then will, they'll determine were there violations. And keep in mind for I-9s, there's paperwork violations and there's unlawful hire violations, unauthorized hire violations. And so, you know, you could have everyone working for you legally and still have paperwork violations, and they can add up. But obviously what we're much more concerned about is, do you have people not authorized to work? They'll first give you a notice. They'll say, at least in the ones I see, they give you first the technical violations, and those are violations that you can cure within 10 days, by, you know, just making changes to the I-9. So a good example of that is, you know, if you actually have copies of documents that you reviewed, a lot of the things become technical violations because you really did have proof that you looked at that. You just didn't write it down on the form. So they'll give you a chance to write it down on the form, and then that's curing. So when your clients are asking you, do I keep copies, do I not, that's one thing to think about. It's certainly not the only thing to think about, but that's one thing to think about is you could have, you know, get your violations to a technical stage. So you're not fined on technical violations if you cure them in the time that they give you. Whereas substantive violations, that's what leads to a fine. So uncured technical and then substantive violations. Now they could come back with a warning notice, and I have seen clients just get a warning notice, but more often they'll come back with a fine. And at that point, you've got another chance for negotiation. You can enter into negotiation with the ICE attorney and go to a settlement, or you can take it to OCAHO. So that's the basic process.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the fines for a couple of minutes then. That's the important thing often to your client. You've got what we call paperwork fines, mistakes on the I-9s. You've got the hiring, continuing to employ fines as well. And obviously the latter is more expensive. You've got minimums and maximums on both of these. Also, by statute, they are increased by another statute that lets the government increase fines for quite a variety of different offenses, not just immigration. So just for your information, now it's down here in the bottom right of the slide, there is the Federal Register on the latest fines, and yet ICE has not updated its matrices. So the minimum and maximum fine for first offense for paperwork violations, $224, and then $2,236. Okay, that's on the paperwork. What we have here in the matrix is a little different because they haven't updated it on their website. Now, for hiring, continuing to employ, the figures are different. It's now $559 minimum, and $4,473, okay, for a maximum first offense. So first understand now the very basics that you have the statutory limits. Within that, there really are no statutory requirements. In other words, if you take it to a judge, well, ICE it can start and then it goes to the judge, but you can start at the top of the fine, work down, start at the bottom, work up, start in the middle. In the first several years, we found all of the above occurring. Now the government takes the position that here are these matrices which divide up the number of violations. So you take the number of violations as a numerator and the denominator the number of employees, and so you determine a percentage, and then you take that percentage and put it in the first tier, second tier, whatever the offense is, and then that's the starting point of the fine. Then they look at the five factors that allow you to increase or decrease the fine. The immigration judges over the years have said, okay, that's fine, ICE, you can create these matrices any way you want, and you've got to follow them. If you do that, you have to tell us how you apply the five factors. Then I'll look at all of that, and I'll make a decision based upon what you have shown us, what the company has shown us, as well as I'll take any factors I want to into account. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's something else that relates to the particular company. We found, and I guess the average is still, that fines tend to be reduced about 30% if they go to an immigration judge. But there's always the risk that the immigration judge can go totally in a different direction. We have had changes in immigration judges who don't have any experience in the worksite field. So people have been, I think, a little nervous to go to the immigration judges. So let's talk about calculation, because something started a year ago and that we had confirmed. We had a case, and Laura, you may have had one too. You know, what we always do, they come up with a notice of intent to fine. Okay, then how did you calculate it? Well, we went through one and we couldn't figure out, you know, looked at the matrix and couldn't figure out how they did it. We ended up talking to the ICE attorney, and there was a memo produced over a year ago that has not been made public to this day, in which the government said, we want you to stack the fines, even though their own policy memorandum in 2008 basically states the way fines have been done for years, and that is, you look at the paperwork fines.